Hi, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. Welcome to Letting Go with Guy Finley. Guy is the best-selling author of Let Go and Live in the Now, and is the founding director of nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. And now, here's Guy Finley.
The work of becoming a new human being is truly not for the faint of heart. The work of becoming a truly new human being is something that is seeded into the human heart before the human being even knows that he or she is a human being. The work of becoming a new kind of man, a new kind of woman, requires of the individual for whom that seed stirs. And I believe that at some point in everyone's life it stirs. I think it's buried. I think it's pushed away. I think you live amongst people in a culture, families, and societies that are dedicated to seeing that the seed dies in the ground. Because any human being in whom the seed stirs and for whom that seed becomes the source of what they do with their life, that person is as a thorn in the side of society. That person is as a thorn in their own family. Because the world is dedicated to the purposes and the plans that the world has been sown with over time. And none of it has to do with becoming a new human being. And I want to sow into this talk right at the start an idea that's difficult to express. But you know, the earth, in one respect, she's always renewing herself. And yet, even though new forms continue to appear as a result of nature's efforts, there is nothing new on the earth. Everything is a reformation. Everything is a change of form, but not a change of the content, not a change of the actual energy that produces the form. And to become a new human being is to become a creature who lives from a spirit, who lives from an order of energy, an order of life, that is newness itself, not a form. It is not something in time but exists outside of time. What is truly new for a human being, that can be new in a human being, that a human being can become a part of, isn't part of a cycle of things. It isn't connected to all of the ways in which a person presently, as you do, think of ways to refresh the idea of yourself. Think of new ways to think about yourself, to have a new sensation created from the images that come to mind. And all of those forms, all of those thoughts, all of those dreams are made of the same stuff as the nature that creates them. And to be born of spirit, which is an accurate expression, to become a human being within whom something lives that is indeed timeless, that is not tied to the passages of the forms that dominate this planet and our associations with them, thoughts. That's a horse of a different color. And it's a journey that has been spoken of in so many different ways, and all of them miss the mark. Because the idea of arriving someplace is always misunderstood. There is no place for you to arrive at. There is no time that will come when you will be a different kind of human being. It doesn't work like that. The real destination, in a manner of speaking, is intimately connected to the unfolding of a person's own consciousness that has nothing to do with the creation of time. Nothing whatsoever to do with the creation of time, of those things, times, and places where I will be different. And I'm starting the talk tonight wanting to get across to you a very important idea about the nature of real change, about what it means to be a new human being. Because the fact is that no human being can make himself or herself new. No one can do that. But the world that we live in, including the world that is the world of your mind that has produced what you see, everything about the way it works is connected to either creating that which it imagines will make a new you when you arrive at what you thought will happen or should happen, or is predicated on the pain of regretting what did happen and then formulating plans from that to escape that, and in the escape become a new human being. And thought is powerless when it comes to producing in a human being a relationship through which newness itself changes the human being. And if there's one lesson that repeats itself over and over and over again to human beings, it is that. But over and over and over again, human beings miss the lesson entirely. Why? I have a little story to tell you to explain it. Two old friends, been together for 20 years. They're out fishing together, sitting on a dock in the bay. And one of them gets up to go get a little ice chest. He got a beer in there. He's going to have a beer. And his friend notices it when he bends over. It kind of groans, has to kneel a little bit to get something out of the ice chest. He's only in his 50s. He shouldn't be doing that yet. And his friend, we'll call his friend Tim, says to Jim, "Hey, Jim, I see you're still favoring your back. I thought you were told me you were going to go see a doctor for some kind of special two-week therapy." And Jim says, "Well, yeah, sort of, but you know what? It just didn't really quite work out." Tim says, "Oh, why? Why is that? Doc no good?" Jim kind of looks around a little bit and says, "Well, it's hard to tell, actually." Tim says, "What do you mean, hard to tell? Either he is or he isn't. Which is it? Come on, Jim. Get with it, man." Jim says, "Well, look, it's just not quite like that." Tim kind of gives him an irritated look. He says, "Well, look, then you tell me why you don't know if he was a good doc or not. I mean, what could be more obvious? That's ridiculous, Jim. Tell me what's happening here." Jim looks at Tim. He says, "Well, you see..." He casts his rod out, just like nothing's happening. Just, phew, you know how that goes, like that. Casts his rod out. He's fishing there. He turns, don't even turn to Tim. He says, "I was so busy with what I had to do, I sent my brother to take my appointments for me." That's humanity. We are, without knowing it, never-endingly sending in a stand-in in the moment of our own suffering. calling on our, in quotes, brother, brother thought, brother dream, brother hope, brother anger. Calling on one of the many relatives that live inside of us that we have been familiar with since our birth to stand up and go take the appointment. And what's the appointment? The appointment's evident. Something's wrong, man. Something's wrong. There's pain. That's an indication there's something wrong. Clearly, with the body, that's an indication something's wrong, isn't it? And if there's pain, we know by the evidence of the pain in ourselves that a correction is needed, because the pain is the evidence itself of something out of balance inside of a person. So in the moment where the correction could be made, we don't go. We don't take our own place in the moment of life where the lesson that has been delivered to us through the evidence of our own unhappiness lands, and in that moment, we're nowhere to be found. We are too busy. What does it mean? I know that I shouldn't feel the way I do right now, but I know why I feel like I do. I know why I'm angry. I know why I enable people the way I do. I know exactly why I'm depressed. I know precisely what to do about this situation that I'm in, that I've been running all my life through. I know what to do. That's what it means to send in your brother. And what I will say next, it sounds so simple, but if you would just work at understanding it even a tiny bit deeper than you do, you would see how extraordinarily powerful it is and necessary for you to take as a principle and work with. And listen how simple this is. Only what is actual, only what is real can change.
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at guyfinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polansky of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit guyfinley.com. That's guyfinley.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.
You can't change an image of yourself other than into another image that is just as likely to produce a pain as the former image did. And the truth is that you can't even change an image the way one imagines one does. Look, when we think of ourselves as being not adequate or not proper or whatever it is, not complete, what does a person do? There's pain there. And what do? I call on my brother. What's my brother? My brother is the next idea I have about myself. And you can send all the king's horses, and you can send all the king's men, you can send 10,000 relatives of thoughts and feelings into the moment where the correction is being given to what is actual, your actual state, and nothing will ever change, because it can't. Because what is real? All right, I'll ask you. How many of you would take a postcard of sunflower seeds and put them in the ground and expect to grow sunflowers? Anybody here think that would work? Think you could grow a little sunflower seed postcard tree? I'm absolutely serious. You wouldn't put a postcard of an apple seed under the ground and expect it to grow. Why do you plant day in and day out the seeds of ideas about who you should be or who you ought not be and hope that something will grow and change out of that action? Now, I have a couple stories, but I want to set up the first one, second one actually, by asking you to look at something. And I started the talk, I predicated everything that I'm saying now with the understanding that I know better than you do how difficult it really is to become a new human being. On the other hand, I also know presently better than you how difficult and horrible it is to remain the kind of human being you are, who believes you can send in your brother or sister, and that the relationship that that thought nature sponsors is somehow going to mitigate the suffering that you don't ever get away from. Now, what does that mean, don't ever get away from? I ask you to be the witness of whether or not the following is true. Here's a man, and one morning he wakes up, and you fill in the blank, which I want you to do. God, this is hell! I feel so bad. I can only think about what I did and what I didn't do and what I can't get to and what's not going to work out and this relationship and, oh my God, and my future. Oh, forget about it. You fill in the blanks, but this puppy doesn't wake up happy. Now, how many of you know that feeling? This evaluation of yourself comes in and you know for beyond the shadow of a doubt that you haven't changed. Yes or no? I want to know. Absolutely. Now, 5 minutes later, 10 minutes, a day, a month later, this man, same man, he's out, he's at Disneyland. Yahoo! Yeah, this is great. Look, I got dough. I got a girl. I got a push. I got a... Some people have... I have a push. How many? What do you have? Look at my future. Fantastic. Look at... I can see it all the way to the end. Man, I'm going to retire. I'm going to have a big yacht. I'm going to sit in a hammock and have a helicopter off the back end of it. And I won't have to do anything except eat. Well, eat, have sex, and go to movies and be applauded by my staff. Did I miss anything? Yahoo! And then, he's right in the middle of that when, all of a sudden, it's like Scotty beams him back, and he's in hellland again. Oh, God, this is terrible. My yacht, it's sinking. What happened to my relationship? It was going to be forever. And what about, look at the mirror, look at, that's not so good either. I don't look as quite as good as I used to look. This is terrible. And 3 days later, look at this beautiful country that I'm in. I love camping. I love the outdoors. I love nature. I love everything. I am love. This is wonderful. I knew it would be like this when I finally made it to where I knew I was going, because even though I don't have the yacht, I am now in relationship with the great yes of the world, and all of it is there for me. And then... 2 days later, oh God, I don't think I can do it. I don't really want to go on. I don't like anything. I mean, I really don't like anything. Don't you bug me. You stay away from me. Whoever you are, no. I oh God, what's going to happen? I don't want to get out of bed. I just want to eat. In fact, I'm so sick to my stomach. This is really terrible. I don't even want to eat. I have no appetite. What worse could happen to a person? 2 days later, I'm mayor. I'm the mayor of Merlin. They recognized me and I knew I had it. I knew I always would make it to the top. Notice how the top has shrunk. Two months, a year, 5 years, back, hell land again. What did I do that for? I gotta do all this stuff for everybody. I mean, what kind of idiot gets involved with a project like that? That all people do is take advantage of me. Now, I'm being humorous, and I'm deliberately not going to raise my voice above the level that it's at right now. But I couldn't be more serious if it was possible to be serious. Because I'm describing your life every single day. Every single day, you're whisked away, you're beamed up to whatever it is that the dream or the plan or the hope entails, and then as soon as the conditions that made that dream or plan possible, as soon as they crumble, which they must and do every time, you're brought right back down to the ground of yourself. And when you reach the ground of yourself, we know what we do there, don't we? We call in our brother. We call in our sister. We call in thoughts to help us understand why we are where we are. And out of that understanding, we can formulate the next place, plan, promise that will save us from this horrible thing. How did I get here? This can't possibly be real. And a man or a woman who remains unregenerated, who never understands what it means to become a new human being, who never knows the truth of rebirth, that is how they spend their life right up to the moment of their death, from which there are no more plans. And you need to understand that so that you can also understand that that path doesn't work. That can't be how a man or a woman is supposed to live if in one's heart dwells this understanding that God is good. That the light, this real life, not the phony one, not the false one, but that the real life can't possibly be in place for the purpose of punishing me the way that I have continued to feel punished every time I pop back into pain land. Now, how many of you know about pain land? The man in our story who went through these journeys back and forth, back and forth, one day said to himself, as you must eventually say to yourself, what is this place to which I am always being returned? Returned without my will. See, I think my will takes me from this place. Do you understand that? And I have will. Clearly I have will, or I couldn't take myself from this place. Couldn't get away from pain land if I didn't have power. But if I have will, why do I find myself in pain land over and over and over again? And why is pain land more painful every time I return? Why is it more difficult each time that horrible wrenching, just like being on a long rubber band? That's exactly what it's just like, a long rubber band. It's just stretching, you know, reaching first, not too much pull. I got it. The desire's there. You got the picture. You're headed there. That rubber band stretching. You can't feel it. Bang in your back. One day a man says to himself, this man, and you need to ask yourself this. This is where one determines whether or not they will ever know what is truly new in themselves. Do I ever leave Painland? Did I ever really leave it?
You're listening to Letting Go with Guy Finley. For more information about Guy's life-empowering ideas, visit guyfinley.com. We'll be back in a moment.
One reason the wind of good fortune is often found at the back of people who are successful in life is because these individuals are usually found moving ahead of it in anticipation of its arrival. Hi, this is Dr. Ellen Dickstein. The engaging words of best-selling author Guy Finley remind us that real success in life is a relationship between ourselves and a timeless greatness that lives within us. Each week, you can receive a powerful, life-affirming message from Guy, guaranteed to help you succeed with your wish for a new life. Each brief, uplifting insight reminds you that nothing can stop you from knowing the higher happiness your heart longs for. To receive Guy Finley's free weekly key lessons, just visit guyfinley.com. Join the thousands of grateful individuals who are learning how to make themselves and our world a better place. Visit guyfinley.com. That's GUYFINLEY.com.
Welcome back to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley.
And the answer is no. You have never left Painland. Because Painland has in it, by the very opposites that produce it through your identification, Promised Land. Painland, Promised Land. Only one doesn't know that Promised Land, as imagined, is the extension of Painland. Because when one is in Promised Land, Painland doesn't exist, except for the fear of not keeping Promised Land. Have you ever been? That's when the rubber band gets really stretched. You know, you're out there, you kind of get, and all of a sudden you feel like a pull, meaning things start to collapse, and you start to be like, uh-oh. And fear starts to creep into Promised Land. There is no fear in the real Promised Land. Now, what is the real Promised Land? How does one get there? What is the cost? And let's be not religious in terms. Let's be as down to earth as we can. What is the Promised Land? What would the Promised Land be? The Promised Land would be the human being finally recognizing that if he or she is to become a new human being, that he or she must step down as being the one who generates the newness that he or she covets. That as long as there's something inside of an individual that is forever projecting what will make them happy, whole, complete, content, that nature that projects Promised Land is simply the secret opposite of Painland. And what we don't want to do is the following. We don't want to come back to Painland and then not bring our brother in. Because this is important to understand. When you come back to Painland, how many of you know what it's like to come back to Painland? Have you not noticed that your brother is waiting there for you? Haven't you noticed that? Yeah. Hey, bro. Sorry to see you back here. This isn't right. How do you feel about it? Well, I don't think it's right either. Yeah, well, you know, if he hadn't have done what he'd done, if they hadn't have made that stupid rule or that law, or if she hadn't have become whatever it was, and if they had only done this, you wouldn't be here. So that's a simple solution, bro. It is? Yeah, what do? Join a group. Go make some more money, because then you wouldn't be brought back to this terrible place where you think you're going to be poor your whole life, and God knows you're not supposed to be poor. Oh, thanks, bro. No problem. And you're off. So to stay to stay in pain land sounds like a curse to human beings. Because when a person is returned to pain land, the first thing that greets them in pain land is parts of themselves that tell them there's nothing here for you. This is a bad place. Now listen what I'm saying to you. Something inside of you is telling you that where you are, do you understand that we're talking about the actuality of your nature as it is? Do you understand that's what pain land is? Pain land is the nature of thoughts and feelings which, having identified with themselves, create attachments, come dependencies and fears, and that level of a human being is pain land. It isn't yours. Every human being is in pain land. And and pain land, when a person's in pain land, what does pain land do? I hate pain land. This is the worst place on earth. And you're listening to your brother, thought. You're listening to your sister, feeling, saying, this isn't right. My sister doesn't live like this. She's got a Porsche. Or whatever it is that passes through the mind in the disguise of a friend who is really a foe, trying to see that you call on their associations in order to produce the next promised land for yourself. So when you say to a human being, as I'm saying to you, what does one do? What does one do in pain land if I don't try to escape it? You understand the question? If I don't go along with the collusion of all these thoughts and feelings and their collective plans, if I'm not part of that, can you not see that the whole idea is, it sounds as abhorrent as it could possibly be, doesn't it? Like, what could be worse than that? Are you saying to me, Mr. Speaker, that I should just, like, die? No, I'm saying that you are dying now because you're living in pain land and not knowing it. And then if you could understand the beauty of this, that pain land is not your native land. Painland is not your native country, but it is the country from which we as human beings start out. It is what we are given. It is what we are given. We are given a mind that isn't developed. We are given a thought nature that only knows itself through imagery, the opposites that produces, and the promises seemingly contained in that. We're born into a level of life that is not where we're supposed to stay, but that we have been convinced by the cultural society, all of the conditions connected to a world that is dedicated to creating one great promised land after another that we can get to if we're willing to pay the price, by the way. And that is the same thing, listen, as transcending the nature that is the origin of pain land. The flesh, if you want to use a biblical term. The nature of this present self that doesn't want anything. You have to ask yourself, and I'm asking you, is it possible for you to be a happy, content human being if anything that comes to you in life throws you into a pain land that you hate being in, and that then you then try to figure out how to get out of? Could you be a happy human being? Can a human being be happy if anything that happens to them is something that they don't want to happen? Because see, you have to use your minds, children. You have to use your minds. I want to be a happy man. I want to be a kind woman. I want to be good. I know I want to be good. I don't know what good is yet, but I know I want to be it, because I know I've been bad. Bad's not good. Hurts. I want to be different. But different can't possibly be staying in this dream that when I'm in pain land, I get out by creating promised land for myself, including all of the ridiculous images, religious across the board, all of the icons by which a person reaches promised land through the idea of a promised land they'll get to when they leave this land. How ludicrous. And by the way, who amongst you believes for a split second that the nature that dominates you, the one that you return to over and over and over again when you're whipped back, who believes for a moment that there's anything heavenly or holy about that nature? Now, if I don't want life, if I don't want what life brings me, and I know that I can't be happy as long as that whatever is taking place is not right, what is it then that I have to do? What's my part in this? How do I become a human being who actually wants what life brings, who actually understands the value, the mercy that is shown when I am whipped back out of the promised land of my imagination into the actuality of myself? How do I find gratitude for that when the whole of me, and you don't know how deep this runs, when the whole of me is literally founded in a societal dream, in a cultural set of images that are not predicated on being someone who finds himself, which is the case, helpless in pain land? Because isn't that what's so abhorrent about being in pain land? I was whipped back there. I don't know what to do. I feel helpless. Then brother comes along and says, "You're not helpless, man. Look, you can figure out. You can blame them. At least that'll give you something to do. Here's some power. Be angry at those people for what they took from you." So here's a person, and the fact is, in this state of themselves as they are, drawn back in pain land, in that nature that is this expression of these opposites, a person is indeed, he's helpless there, but that is abhorrent to all human beings. Because we're taught power. We're taught possession. We're taught command. And if we can't have any of those things in what seems to be fact, we're taught to pretend to have those things. That the whole promise of ourselves is somehow connected to this endless race that's produced by an apple on a stick, on a string in front of the mule that pursues and pursues and pursues because he can smell the promise of the apple, but he never has the actual possession of it. This is human beings. And it's not the human being's fault, in quotes. It is the fault of ours where we continue to believe that those things that well up right from the nature of thought itself, right from the nature of thought itself has woven into it the idea of that which will rescue a human being from having the idea that he needs to get something to rescue himself. That's thought. Thought must produce for itself the end of itself. And if you know anything about the opposites, no opposite can bring an end to itself. And there you have human beings with this very nature of desire and its objects, possession and promise woven into them, and the endless pursuit out into promised land until the thing collapses back to pain land.
Hear Guy Finley in person. Guy lives and teaches in Merlin, Oregon, where he speaks four times each week at beautiful nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. Visit us anytime and hear Guy's life-transforming principles in a friendly, serene, and inspiring environment. Visit GuyFinley.org or call 541-476-1200 to learn more about friendly ongoing classes. You are not alone in your quest for a new life. At Life of Learning, you'll meet others who are also seeking higher understanding, and you'll experience the power and inspiration of hearing Guy Finley in person. Plan to visit us and take the next step in your spiritual development. For information, call 541-476-1200, 541-476-1200, or visit GuyFinley.org. That's GuyFinley.org.
So if I can see that, is there any hope there? I mean, what does that mean? I don't know what it would be like not to defend myself. I mean, what are you taught? What happens inside of you like that? Nobody speaks to me like that. And they didn't say anything. And I'm not gonna. Do you think for a minute that I'm gonna give up my cushy whatever it is just because it makes me compromise myself? Because you don't understand. I'm just gonna compromise myself long enough until I can get safe. Over and over and over again, and the brother mind, the sister mind pops in and gives you the rationale for escaping what. It, by the way, tells you will happen to you if you stay in painland. Now, I want you to contrast this whole cultural lie about what a man or a woman must be inwardly, that they produce through embracing the images that were sown into their culture, that whole idea, I want you to contrast it to this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I want you to think for a second. Blessed are the poor, those that mourn, and the meek. And by the way, I just want to put this in the talk. There are 9 separate statements in the Beatitudes from the New Testament. Each group of 3 represents a level of consciousness, each one building on the other. But the first and principal step is in the idea of, and that which runs completely counter to what is inside of you, which is, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those that mourn, and blessed are the meek. How many human beings do you see thinking to themselves, you know, it's great to be poor in spirit, it's great to mourn, and it's wonderful to be meek? You may sit and hear this and think to yourself, that's wonderful, and you should choke on your own false sentimentality. Because in the moment where you are pulled out of the promised land, where you are able to express the lie of those qualities because it enables you and gives you power over people to be seen in a certain light, the moment you're brought back to the land where these things are indeed ruling, you resist and resent and regret every last moment of it. Yes or no? Think about what I'm saying to you. The awareness of my actual state of being, not the sense of myself derived from images I produce for myself, but what I actually am in the moment. And when one is aware of what they actually are, And this is so, I don't know how to get it through to you. See, what are you? What are we? What is any human being without his dream? Without her hope? Without the plan? Without the security connected to something they're doing that will bring them this, then, when? What is the actual state of a human being when they are not justifying their hatred for another human being or their resentment towards someone who doesn't see what they do? Meaning, when they are right for their wrong feelings, what is the actual state of a human being when all of those things are taken away, which is what happens in the split second when Promised Land collapses and they're back in pain land? What is the actual state? That's what I asked you about that man. He said, do I ever really leave this place? Do I ever really get away from here? And he had the courage, as you must, as I urge you to do, he had the courage to one day say, you know what? I now know that I don't ever leave pain land, but that something comes and takes me from here in a dream. And it takes me in that dream to a promised land that always collapses because it isn't real. And when reality shows me that the reality of promised land wasn't real, I hate reality for bringing me back to the place where I'm helpless. To the place where I know that of myself I can't do anything. I despise reality for that. Because I am more than that. I am better than that. I have authority over people. My mind is sharp as a tack. You should see it when I'm not in pain land. Now I have a story. Only 5 minutes left. Boy, time went too fast. A man once left a country that he didn't want to stay in anymore. He knew there was something corrupt in the country that he was in. This has to do with consciousness. And he also knew that he was a part of that very corruption, that he was a selfish, self-wrapped human being. And he left that country knowing that nothing right could happen there for him. And he wandered, and one day he kind of washed up on shore in a country he didn't know anything about. And he found out quickly that the story went that years and years and years and years and years ago, decades ago, whenever no one knew quite the time, there was a good king and a good queen that ruled this country. But somehow, some say they were overthrown. Some say they just went away for a little while. No one knows, but what was known was that an evil tyrant now ruled this country. And the man thought to himself, oh great, now what do? I went from this country to that country. But as he was walking along a road, he came by an old farm. And there was this nice old couple out there in the field, and they were trying to move a big rock that was in the way of the plow. And he could see their plight. Oh, if only you were capable of seeing what is. He could see they needed help. When he could see it, he had to give it. He went and he helped them get this big rock out of the field. And when he got the big rock out of the field, he said, you know, thank you, Sonny, for stopping and helping. I don't know what we would have done without you. Would you like to come in and have a meal with us in exchange? Oh, certainly I would. Well, come on in. And they gave him a nice meal. And then when the evening was closing, they said to him, thank you, Sonny. And they paid him a coin. They gave him a coin. And he looked at the coin and said, thank you. He's looking at coin of the realm. I need that. I'm here. Next day he was in the marketplace. He tried to spend the coin. And the merchant said, what is that? He said, well, I got paid this. He said, you got taken. Oh, really? Well, they were old folks. You know, who knows? He says, yeah, sorry. So he couldn't do. But he decided he better tell the people that, you know, just didn't want to hurt them. But you can't pay stuff like that. So he goes back and there they are. And they're trying to move a big beam that had fallen out of the barn where they store their grain. And he goes and he helps them with that. And sure enough, want to stay for a meal, Sonny? Yeah, I'd love to stay for a meal. And little by little, over several weeks, he became very good friends with these old people. And each time they gave him a meal, and finally they offered him a place to stay there if they wanted to work. And each night they would give him another coin, more than the coin he gave him before. So the first night he got one, second night he got two. Next night he got two plus one, then three, and they kept giving him more and more coins, and he didn't want to hurt their feelings, so he just put them in a bag and stuffed them under his bunk in the barn. Well, because I have to bring the story to an end, one day The young man had gone out to the market again to pick up things for the people, and when he came back, they weren't there. And he couldn't understand why they weren't there, and he went through the, into the house, and there on the drawer, there was a note. It said, "Dear Sonny, we leave you our entire ranch, all of the farm animals, all the materials on it, and over in the corner, you'll find a large chest, and it's filled with coins." And the guy says, "You know, this is nuts. Thank you." But he goes, "Chest full of coins, just like all the others that were no good." And then he got to the bottom of the letter, and it said, "P.S., will you meet us at the castle? Tomorrow we want to show you something just outside the gates." And he thought, well, it'd be good to see them. I want to make sure they're okay. They must be leaving on a trip or something, or who knows what. And so he went there. And when he got there, he walked in the castle gates. And there on the big stage, there was the old man and the old woman. And they were the king and the queen. They had come back and through their natural right, taken back the whole of the estate of the tyrant who couldn't stay there anyway. And they waved at Sonny, and Sonny waved at them. And then there was a drum roll, and somebody came out and, "Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This is the new coin of the realm." And it was the coin that he'd been rewarded with all of that time that he'd been working for the old man and the old woman. And he had now an estate, and he had all the wealth that he could possibly hope for. I'm talking to you about what it takes. Because for a long time you have to work for a coin that you don't recognize as being valuable. You don't see it as valuable to stay aware of yourself as you are. You think it's more valuable to escape yourself. You don't see the value in refusing to complain about life. But you will if you start to understand it is better to comprehend your condition that produced the complaint than it is to go along with finding ways to control what you say is making you unhappy. There are endless examples where you can find out for yourself what it means to begin to work for what we'll call the coin of truth, the coin of light. Because it is that coin of light that is granted to each person when they are returned to the native ground of themselves, where instead of producing for themselves this next step, this plan, this hope, all of that, they stay helpless. They stay with being poor in spirit. They stay with mourning. Not the kind of mourning and not the kind of poverty that the brother in you tells you is poverty and mourning, that tells you what it means to be meek. What it means to be poor in spirit, to mourn and to be meek that way, simply means the individual understands that God, this intelligence that created the universe, that can give what is new, gives it only to what is actual. It changes only what is true and real. And it's your sole task to understand this and to begin to be willing to stand in the light of seeing yourself as you are and not daring step out of that. Don't you dare let a stand in come in for you anymore. You stand there in the light. The light will give you a coin. And after a while, you'll begin to understand that you've been given the greatest riches there are, because you have been given passage to the world in which newness is its life.
Hello, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. You've been listening to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley. To learn more about Guy Finley and his nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation, visit guyfinley.com, where you'll find a host of free, life-changing information. Thanks for joining us today.
Love. The brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at guyfinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polansky of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit guyfinley.com. That's GUYFINLEY.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.